It's been 10 days since the World Cup has begun, and oh my God, what a tournament we've had so far. We've seen upsets, we've seen close games. There's been a lot of frustration because Australia has decided to become England and just wash out matches. But we're going to talk about all of that later. We're going to talk about the group stages, how the groups are looking so far, and how the tournament is going to shape and who is going to win the World Cup this year. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Outsiders Cricket Podcast. I'm your host, Rudra. And before we talk about anything, let us just start off by talking about the game. I mean, I think you all know what I'm talking about. The game, probably one of the best T20 game probably that I've ever seen in my life. India versus Pakistan. I mean, every once in a while you see T20 games that make you jump out of your seat, right? But in the recent times, I don't think I can remember a single game which was this intensity, which was at such a big stage and which was this close. I mean, the drama in that game, the drama in that last over itself was so dramatic. I mean, forget all the practical stuff, right? When you're looking at games, you look at all the practical stuff, how the bowlers were used, this and that. But that game was not about the practical stuff. It was purely emotional. Like, it was 5 a.m. when I was watching the game over here in San Diego. And the absolute scenes when Ashwin hit that ball over covers and India won the game. I mean, I don't think I can remember. Like, if I think of the best T20 games that I've seen in my life, I think of India-Australia in 2016. I think of the Super Over game that happened between New Zealand and India in 2020. But I don't think any of them match the level of the game that we saw right there. Like I just wanted to start the episode by just an appreciation for the match and being thankful enough that I got a chance to watch that match live with so many people over here. Like, it was an absolute treat to watch. Getting into more of the technical stuff, India won their first two games of the tournament. So as of now, I'm recording this on the 31st of October. India has played three games. India has played three games in the tournament so far against Pakistan, Netherlands, and South Africa. They've won their first two games against Pakistan by 4 wickets and against Netherlands by 56 runs. India lost their game against South Africa yesterday by 5 wickets. It was a close game. We'll talk about that. So if I look at India's tournament so far, what have been the positives and where do you think we're lacking right now? Thinking of the positives, I think the biggest positive right now for us is that our bowling unit is working. Like, the biggest concern we had before the tournament was that after Jasprit Bumrah went missing, will Shami perform? Will Arshdeep Singh step up to the mark? Will Bhuvneshwar Kumar deliver like he does? And I think we've answered those questions in the most perfect way that was possible. Like, Arshdeep Singh, like, that guy playing his first World Cup, he's played three games. In those three games, I think he's picked 6 or 7 wickets. And just the quality of those wickets, like, it's not like he's dismissing tail-enders or they're lucky dismissals. No, they're proper dismissals, just like Jasprit Bumrah was picking for India at the time when he was playing. Like, Arshdeep is picking wickets in the power play at the back end, and he can also bowl overs in the middle. I'm not making any comparisons here, but he is perfectly filling the spot of Jasprit Bumrah in this team. And the fact that he bowls left-handed and can vary his pace, that has helped us incredibly well in this tournament. And obviously the second, the biggest positive I think for us is that Virat Kohli is back in form. I mean, looking at those two innings that he played in the first two games, especially the first match against Pakistan, I mean, it was an absolute masterclass, and it was Kohli of 2016. Like it was the exact same vibe. The innings that he played against Australia in 2016, there was 82 of 53 deliveries. This one was 82 of 51 deliveries. I cannot make a comparison between the two. I mean, if you ask me to pick one, I don't think I could do it. Like, because it's in the heat of the moment, I would say that it's this innings. But obviously, the innings that he played in Mohali was equally magical. So, yeah, just a very big positive for us that Kohli is back in form. And then obviously Suryakumar Yadav doing what he does. Like, the half century that he scored against South Africa, right? It was probably his best T20 international innings that he's played. I know he scored a century against England in July, when we were playing a T20 there. But I think this was a better innings. I mean, just the situation that the team was in. I think our score was 31-5 when Suryakumar Yadav was batting with Dinesh Karthik. And just the way he carried his innings from there, like, South Africa is a very good team. And I'm going to come to South Africa after this. Like, South Africa was my prediction to win the World Cup. And I think that prediction is going right on track now. Like, if you look at their bowling lineup, I mean, Ngidi played his first game of the tournament against India and he picked 4 wickets. I mean, he picked 4 wickets of Virat Kohli, Rohit Sharma, KL Rahul and Hardik Pandya. Those are huge wickets. And he picked those wickets in the span of 2 or 3 overs. Like, rebuilding the innings from there is such a difficult task. And the way Suryakumar Yadav not only rebuilt the innings, but he counter-attacked South Africa and got India to a point where they could at least fight in the match. India had a great effort with the ball, but I think the fielders let us down in that game. Rohit Sharma, Virat Kohli, that run out miss and that catch that Virat Kohli dropped, I think those are crucial moments in the game. Although I still feel India would have lost the match even after that, but those were moments where we could have got a chance of getting back into the game. But regardless of that, South Africa are at the top of the points table right now with 5 points. We are at number 2 with 4 points. Bangladesh is also at 4 points with a slightly negative net run rate. And then there's Zimbabwe, Pakistan and Netherlands. Pakistan and Netherlands are officially knocked out of the tournament after India's loss to South Africa. I mean, obviously, I think you all might have seen the memes that are going around. Like, India, although India lost to South Africa, there's something for India to celebrate because Pakistan are out of the tournament. So, yeah. I think it should be an easy qualification for South Africa and India in this group. India's next game is against Bangladesh, which happens tomorrow. If India wins that game, I think they would have almost knocked out Bangladesh out of the tournament. And then their last game is against Zimbabwe. So two relatively easy games. India should cruise through to the semis. Although I think we're going to finish second on the table because South Africa also has 2 games left against Pakistan and Netherlands, I think. So if South Africa win those 2 games, they will finish at the top of the table, which means that we will face the team that finishes first in Group 1. Just before I move to Group 1, let's just talk about Pakistan, right? Before the tournament started, many experts, many people, they were calling Pakistan the dark horse of the tournament. And rightly so. I mean, the first two games that Pakistan played, Pakistan had nearly knocked India down in that first game. Like, we were down and out when Pakistan picked 4 wickets in the power play, right? But then Pakistan gave us a chance to come back into the game. And then I think the way Pakistan lost that game completely shifted the momentum against them. Like, the second game, they lost to Zimbabwe by 1 run, chasing 130 runs. Like... Like, if you all saw that game, Pakistan needed 33 runs in 27 deliveries. That's close to a runner ball. And then Pakistan lost, I think, 3 wickets within an over. Like, even after that sort of a collapse, you expect a team like Pakistan to win. But I think those 2 losses and then Pakistan were just reliant on other results, which just didn't go their way. I think it was exactly the problem that I had pointed out before the tournament began. They are too reliant on their openers. First 2 games, both of them, Babar and Rizwan, did not score runs and they were knocked out. They were down and out. Their batting order was not performing. I think Shaan Masood actually saved Pakistan from embarrassment against both India and Zimbabwe. He scored a half century in both those games, got Pakistan into a position where they could fight in the game. If he hadn't done that, Pakistan would have been exposed. Pakistan were down and out, and I think they rightly deserve to be out of the tournament. Shaheen Shah Afridi, everyone was talking about him before the tournament. He didn't have a great tournament. I think he still has some fitness issues left to address too. But regardless, I think Pakistan need to think about a lot of things, especially about their batting lineup. I mean, Fakhar Zaman was in the squad. I have no idea why he did not play. He could have been a player who came in at number 3 or number 4, like before Shaan Masood, tried to anchor the innings till the end for the finishers, but just a lot going wrong for them at the moment. Also, Mohammad Nawaz. I mean, Pakistan are playing 2 spinners in Australia. I mean, Shadab Khan, you can understand because he's a proper all-rounder who can bat and, you know, bowl those four overs. I mean, but Mohammad Nawaz, when Pakistan has such great fast bowlers, why aren't they playing three fast bowlers, Shadab Khan and then one fast bowling all-rounder? Like, that's the staple bowling lineup for any team in the tournament. If you look at India, we're playing three fast bowlers. We're playing we're playing Akshar Patel and then we are playing Hardik Pandya. So I think that's what all teams are doing, but just a lot going wrong for Pakistan. You all might have seen Shoaib Akhtar pointing out the same mistakes, like the selectors, the management, something's not right over there. And I think they have a lot to think about before the upcoming tournaments next year, where we have the Asia Cup and the T20 World Cup. Also, one last thing before we move on to Group 1. What does India have to do moving forward? So let's just talk about the playing 11, right? Dinesh Karthik succumbed to an injury in the last game where I think he pulled a hamstring and he might not play the next game. So people are saying that Rishabh Pant would be a direct replacement for him into the team. I don't think that he'll be a direct replacement. For me, I think KL Rahul has had his chances. I said this before the tournament that KL Rahul is a great player, but he does not perform consistently at the highest stage. And we can't have that at the World Cup. He's got three chances in three games. He did not perform. I think it's time that Rishabh Pant comes in for KL Rahul and not Dinesh Karthik. I think Rishabh Pant can open the innings with Rohit Sharma. And then instead of Dinesh Karthik, we can have Akshar Patel coming back into the side. So our batting lineup would look like Rohit Sharma, Rishabh Pant, Virat Kohli, Suryakumar Yadav, Deepak Hooda, Hardik Pandya, Akshar Patel. That, I think, is a really, really good balance for the team. This team actually reminds me of the Australian team, because Australia also plays like five bowlers and then they have Stoinis, Maxwell, Mitch Marsh, three guys in the top order who can also bowl. So that'll sort of be our team where, you know, Hardik Pandya, Deepak Hooda, Akshar Patel, all of them can bowl and then we have our four bowlers. So I think that's a really good balance and it's the need. I mean, people, you can't back KL Rahul anymore. Like, you have to give Rishabh Pant a couple of games before the semi-finals. So yeah, it's high time that we get this change in the team. Moving on to Group 1. I mean, I don't think I remember a tournament where a group has been so intense and so close, even at the back end of the tournament. Like, each team has either one or two games left and we still don't know who's going to qualify for the semis. So let me just tell you the points table right now. New Zealand is at number one with 5 points. Australia is at number two with 5 points, but they've played an extra game. England are at number three with 3 points. Ireland are at number four, Afghanistan at five, and Sri Lanka at six. Ireland and Australia have played 4 games each and all the other teams have played 3 games. I mean, let's just start off by talking about the opening game, right? I said this before the tournament in the episode that I recorded, that New Zealand could shock Australia in the first game. Australia might be rusty. Australia might not be ready. And that's exactly what happened. New Zealand thrashed Australia in that first game. Like, Australia did not even come close to winning that game. Glenn Phillips scoring a century on the first day of the tournament. I mean, what an amazing, amazing innings for him. And as I was saying earlier, again, New Zealand will always be the dark horses in these tournaments. They are never considered to be the big three, the big four teams, but New Zealand always shows up at these tournaments. It's in their culture. It's, I don't know what you want to call it. New Zealand shows up at these tournaments and they win games. New Zealand thrashed Australia by 88 runs in the first game. They won the second game against Afghanistan, was obviously washed out due to rain. And then they won their third game against, I think it was Sri Lanka. And they're now at top of the table. New Zealand, I think they're pretty confident that they're going to qualify, because I think even if they win one out of their remaining two games, they'll have 7 points and that should be enough. They have an amazing net run rate. So that should be enough for them to finish at the top of the table and qualify for the semis. The interesting thing now is who's going to finish second. So Australia had a game against Ireland yesterday. Australia gave Ireland a target of 180, an amazing innings from Aaron Finch, scoring 63 of 48, and also contributions throughout the order from Mitch Marsh, Marcus Stoinis, Tim David, all these guys. Ireland in response, okay? Ireland in response were 25 for 5. Australia had them down and out in the power play itself. And then everyone was expecting Australia. Everyone was expecting Australia to win the game by a margin of maybe 100 runs, maybe more. And Australia really needed that because their net run rate, Australia needed to win by 75 runs or more to have a better net run rate than England, okay? And everyone was expecting Australia to win by at least 100 runs or more. But then this guy from Ireland, Lorcan Tucker, he shows up out of nowhere and he absolutely thrashes Australia. Like, the guy bats at number 3, okay? So he came in when the first wicket fell down and he was not out right till the end when the team got all out. He scored 71 of 48, red ink, not out. And I feel bad for him because I think a little bit of inexperience killed them in the end over there. They lost the game with 43 runs eventually. But I think if they'd taken a couple of smart decisions towards the end, that margin at least could have been smaller. But regardless of that, they have hurt Australia in terms of net run rate. And now Australia, although they're at number 2, they still have a worse net run rate compared to England. And so all of that, it comes down to tonight's game when New Zealand are facing England at the Adelaide Oval. I think the most important game of the tournament for this group. If England loses this game, I think they're close to being out of the tournament, because if England loses this game, the maximum they can get to is 5 points. And Australia's next game is against Afghanistan, which I think Australia's next game is against Sri Lanka, which I think they will win, and they'll get to 7 points eventually. So it's a do or die game for England tonight. And I'm honestly backing England to win against New Zealand today. A side like England, they got a little unlucky when their game against England obviously really needed to play that game against Australia, but that game got washed out and the points were shared over there. So it all comes down to this game for England if they want to qualify. And I am actually pumped. I want England to win this game because I'm honestly not backing Australia. If Australia does not qualify for the semis this year, it'll be a huge upset. And I'll honestly be delighted because, as you guys know, I've said this before, I was not pleased, to say the least, when Australia won the World Cup last year. So yeah, exciting group. And also, and I just want to throw this in, Sri Lanka, although they are at the bottom of the table, they're a team that could really, really upset a few teams here, because Sri Lanka has 2 games right now. Sri Lanka has a game against Afghanistan and Australia. If they win against Afghanistan and they beat Australia, which, although it's a big shout, I think it's possible. Sri Lanka has been in great form. They played a terrible last game. I don't even want to talk about it. It just shows why teams like Sri Lanka are talked about the way that they are. But I'm not going to be too hard on them. I think they still have the capability of beating big teams. And I'm very excited for this group. I'm definitely going to be doing an episode tomorrow or day after, whenever these games are over. And I'm excited. If you ask about my predictions, I honestly think New Zealand and England are going to go through. England just needs to win their next 2 games. I mean, it doesn't matter what the margin is. They're already way ahead of Australia in terms of net run rate. So they just need to win the 2 games and they, I think, will be through to the semis. New Zealand, on the other hand, I think they'll finish on top regardless of the result against England. So if those predictions are right, it would be New Zealand and England at the top of Group 1 and South Africa and India in Group 2. If you talk about my predictions to win the tournament, I mean, so if you see the first game, if it's India and New Zealand, it'll be at the Adelaide Oval. Both teams have played, I think both teams would have played 1 game each at that ground in the tournament itself. I am honestly backing India. I'm confident this time around that India will beat New Zealand. New Zealand have a lot of things that have been going right for them. Glenn Phillips has played a couple of great innings for them. There have been a lot of individual performances is what I'm saying. And what we usually see from New Zealand is that they work well together as a team. But this time around, there have been a lot of individual performances for them. So I am not sure if they are going to go through like they always do. So I am backing India this time to make it to the finals. And talking of the second semi-finals, I am going to stick to my prediction of South Africa going through and winning the tournament eventually. I think it'll be an India-South Africa final where South Africa wins the tournament, unfortunately. I really hope that India wins it, but it's just my gut feeling that's been there from the start that South Africa are actually going to win this. And I think they do deserve it because the way that they've been performing in international cricket over the past couple of years has been amazing, and they have not been appreciated enough for how they have built this team. And I think it's their time, and they're going to go all the way through this time. So interesting times. I honestly am happy that India are finishing second in the group. I would rather face New Zealand in the semifinals than England or Australia because, you know, regardless of what our past history has been against New Zealand, typically based on the form of the teams currently, I would want to face New Zealand rather than the other two teams. So I'm happy about that. And yeah, I'm just hoping that, you know, India doesn't mess any of the other two games and easily qualifies for the semis. So yeah, that was like a roundup of the first week or so of the tournament that has happened so far. We're getting to the back end of the tournament. It's going to be a lot of action, and I am honestly very, very hyped. I'm so happy that this World Cup has been this close. It's actually brought people back, you know, brought people in front of the screens to watch the games. In the following episodes, I'll also have a few guests who will be joining us, a few friends who will be back and discussing games with us. So yeah, exciting times forward. So yeah, I think that's it for this episode. I hope you all enjoyed. Thank you for listening, and until next time, goodbye.